I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I don't think that information right there could be any more true, any less true. The players were coming into his office crying, hugging him, sending him goodbyes, calling him one by one. If they felt that way, why are Mark Andrews and Zay Flowers and Isaiah Likely and all these players coming in, crying, hugging him, giving him these long, warm goodbyes? I'm not buying that.
We got here Media Wars. Howard Stern Show has a bit called Psychic Wars, where Rodman Delancey calls psychics and calls them out for being phonies. Now, that's Adam Schefter. Not saying that Ian Rappaport, who he was referencing, is a phony, but kind of reminds me of that. And Ian Rappaport had reported, Ian, NFL Network, where Adam Schefter used to work before he went to ESPN, saying that John Harbaugh had lost the locker room. And as you just heard from Adam Schefter, that couldn't be further from the truth. Now, I'm just listening to the clip like everybody else because I didn't see him on the Pat McAfee show because it's on. But some of us actually are doing this, just watching, not listening to the audio. And, all right, Isaiah Likely gave him a hug and was crying. And Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews. And we saw Marlon Humphrey and Charlie Kolar on the Ryan Ripken show and others, you know, via social media addressed John Harbaugh. Three hugs and tears. Does that speak for the majority of the locker room? Again, I don't know. I haven't been in a Ravens locker room since Billick was the head coach, quite frankly. What does it even mean? He's obviously disputing Ian Rappaport's story. Mm-hmm. But to what end, though?
Well, Rappaport did say, to be fair to him, that it wasn't this unanimous, every player's against him, everyone hates him, or even the word hate would be way too strong. I think it comes down to, again, like a semantics thing. You know, what do you define as lost the locker room? Like I said yesterday, if you look at on-field performance, there was no indication that they quit on him. You know, they didn't go out on the field and just pack it in that way. But behind the scenes, we're not behind the scenes, you know. And quite frankly, Schefter and Rappaport, while it is their job to get behind the scenes, they're not in the building. They're just going off of what they've been told. And I'm assuming in the case of Schefter, he's being told by someone in the Ravens PR staff. That kind of, I don't know. I mean, to me, it doesn't matter. Like, what's done is done.
Oh, sure.
You know, and I think the most likely situation here is that, yeah, there was, even if guys were upset that he was gone, right? This has been the only head coach I know. I respect him as a man on a personal level, but I can still lose faith in him being the leader of the team and being truly the guy to get us over the hump. Both things can be true, right? And using that choice of words, lost the locker room, I think it's a semantics thing. How do you define lose the locker room? Everyone has a different definition. And when Rappaport said that, someone else might hear that and say, oh my God, everybody hates him. You know, I just think it's kind of a nothing thing, really, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, like you said, the move's made. Mm-hmm. John Harbaugh is the ex-coach, and I saw a report yesterday where he's going to wait till next week to do his interview process. You heard during Joe LaCour's update that the Ravens very much active in trying to replace him. But I'm looking at the schedule here and trying to think of an instance in which the team may or may not have played hard for him. Now, I thought that there were games where Lamar looked like he checked out at certain points of time. Kansas City comes to mind when he was getting his ass kicked against Detroit. The only game I'll think of where the team, by the way, I could be completely wrong about Lamar, too, may have been, we're done. The Houston game. because they played hard against L.A. the next week.
Yeah.
And then they won five in a row. Maybe the second half against Cincinnati, the effort level might have waned as the result seemed inevitable, which it turned out to be as they lost by 18. But they played hard in every game. Outside of that, I mean, maybe the Houston game, second half against Kansas City, perhaps. But I can't think of one game where there was like this team-wide mutiny, screw you, Harbaugh, we're not playing for you today.
And I think you go back to that Houston game, it was even worse at the time. Of course, Houston now a playoff team, but back then they looked like a disaster, that they were going to be even worse than they were a year prior. And C.J. Stroud was regressing again, even worse than he was a year ago. So they were in turmoil, and they played this Ravens team, and they looked like world beaters. So that was right there, just on the surface. That was a no-go, 44-10. Also, Cooper Rush was starting at that time. And then I think he started against L.A. as well.
Yeah, there was a couple of whiffs.
And in hindsight, I think maybe the team was like, all right, I mean, Huntley's here. Why aren't we making the switch to him? And then once Huntley came in, I think it was in the second half of one of those games.
It was the Rams game.
Yeah, and they made that late push. Huntley was moving the ball, but they couldn't find the end zone. They couldn't score, but there was more rhythm there. The guys looked a little more energized. So maybe that was it. Maybe the guys were just, oh my God, like we have no chance with Cooper Rush. And Huntley was a little bit of a spark plug, even though they lost. But to the Harbaugh point, I didn't see it. I didn't see at any point this year where they quit on the field on Harbaugh, in my opinion.
And until, to me, either a coach or a player flat out says he lost the locker room, then we're just speculating. There might be a couple of players sprinkled in who didn't feel as though he had control of the team the way he should have, given his tenure. Or maybe his voice got stale, which I would buy that to some level, which I guess coincides with losing the locker room. I think at the end of the day, Nolan, they're an 8-9 team beset with multiple problems, and they just weren't good enough when it was all said and done.
Yeah.
That's the end result of the 2025 season.
And if that's a boring answer, then so be it.
Yeah.
I'm with you 100%. I mean, you look at all the issues they had this year, like you said. I mean, there was no rhythm whatsoever. The offensive line, God, we discussed that way too much.
Correct.
Don't want to do that again next year. I'll just say that. They could be a bad team next year, but as long as the O-line's guy, I just can't do the O-line thing again. Right. Change it up a little bit. And also, how many times this year do we say, all right, they're losing, and it's the exact same thing every time? I was joking with people. We'd call some of our guests, and I'd be like, all right, another loss this week. I mean, at least get creative. At least lose in a different manner. Right. Something that, like, changed the talking points up a little bit because it got that bad. But yes, at the end of the day, one person's opinion lost the locker room. Someone else says, no way. Truth is probably somewhere in the middle. And in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter because what's done is done.
Now, here we are a couple of days after the fact, John. Well, 3-4 days after the fact, Ravens season came to an end. You know, the good news is, if you want to find a silver lining, that if John Harbaugh would have kept his job, we'd be waiting to see what assistant would have been fired. We don't have to talk about the loss in Pittsburgh any longer. I'm sure we'll reflect on it and is it one of the worst regular season losses in team history? Yeah, probably, because you had a chance to get to the playoffs. Now we get the excitement, Nolan, of talking about a potential coach. And I'm going to ask this question of the people. Names aside, because we've now started to get the laundry list of guys that could be in. I'm of the whatever the McVay tree is, maybe try to pick a leaf off of that because we've seen other coaches go. In Liam Cohen, a McVay tree guy, the head coach of Jacksonville, you know what I mean? And that Shanahan McVay, it all kind of goes back to the end of like Bill Walsh, who then goes back to Paul Brown. Now we're really getting crazy, digging deep and deep and deep. But would you prefer an offensive coach who would be more hands-on with the offense, or a defensive coach who would be more hands-off with the defense, or hands-on, rather, because you didn't like the delegating back to Harbaugh to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
People have been whining a lot about Mike McDonald not being here anymore, defensive coordinator. So would you lean more to the mentors or the Chris Shulas, who's got lineage in the city for sure? We all like nostalgia, but he ain't good. Don Shula's grandson, David Shula's son. David Shula, by the way, did play for the Colts in the early 80s. Or do you want a guy that's going to maximize what Lamar Jackson has in that skill set as he just turned 29 yesterday? In the next few years, we assume, transition more into a pick-his-spots runner and more of a, not a pure pocket passer, but a guy that's going to be more inclined to throw the ball than hit the trail there.
Yeah, I've kind of been consistent in saying that I prefer the offensive mind. And then what we've heard about Lamar's involvement in all this, I mean, he's the key to the entire team, and I need to, you know, turn that key and unlock whatever potential this team has. It starts with him, and that's why I think finding the right personality to mix with him that can not only get the best out of him on the field, but, again, keep him locked in 100%. And if there was any wavering or discontent between him and Monken, which has been reported by some people, Jeff Cerebic said it, that there was friction there, not that it was a disdain and a hatred, but that there was something there, there was a block, and that Harbaugh had to be a mediator. If you got a head coach that comes in, I mean, in my opinion, all these guys, if you're an offensive mind and you're interviewing with the Ravens, that's the job you want. I'm going all out. I need this Ravens job. Give me Lamar Jackson. What a gift to be a first-time head coach and enter that situation, and you're going to give me Lamar Jackson. There's not many first-time head coaches to get an opportunity like that.
Right.
And I think you would. I want a candidate that's coming in here that views that as a blessing, not a burden. All this stuff out here, well, you know, late the meetings, the fall, whatever you believe that or not. Someone that's going to view that as, I need him and he needs me. Not that, all right, we have to make this work. We don't really, we have conflicting personalities here. We're just going to make it work. No, I want them to say, I need you. You need me. Let's reach the mountaintop.
ELE, baby. Everybody love everybody. We'll come back. Take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. It's Vinny and Andy, Bob, Andy Nolan, McGraw, Mike Pope. He's back in the house. Terps lose last night. Speaking of same old to Indiana. We'll talk to Jim Smith, athletic director, University of Maryland. But bigger things going on in the world of college sports, like the kid at Washington signed a deal that he bounced. Baylor getting a commitment and a guy playing. Someone who was drafted in the league a couple years ago, and how the landscape of college athletics has changed and how he tries to navigate through it. But the question is, oh, and Big Christmas. But he still might stay around. Maybe. We'll explain. Orioles. But offense or defensive coach, who do you want with the Ravens?
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Against Indiana, still winless in the Big Ten. College hoops now in the calendar year of 26. UCLA. West on Saturday. We'll get into all of that and this crazy zany landscape. College sports. Williams, quarterback for Washington, for instance, signed a deal to stay, then decided he didn't want to go there anymore. Well, there you go. We'll get into all of that. And then some, asking you, who would you prefer to replace John Harbaugh, an offensive-minded head coach or a defensive, like a coordinator on offense, or defense? Let's get out to the phones. We'll start it off today. Ryan in Baltimore. Ryan, what's happening?
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning. How are you?
Doing all right, Ryan.
Good morning. So I've had a couple days to process the whole John Harbaugh situation, and it's kind of bittersweet for me because he's really all I've known as a head coach for the Ravens. So, but I see two sides of the coin of reasons to keep or to fire. Obviously, Nolan, you made a great point. The job's done. You know, there's nothing you can do. So whether stuff's coming out of the locker room or the communication with the coordinators, you know, whatever, he's gone. But for John Harbaugh, he was a great coach. He's one of the best coaches. currently in the league. For the flip side, the Fire Harbaugh side, there are four teams that have won Super Bowls and fired their head coaches since the Ravens lost, since the Ravens last won their Super Bowl. So for the guy saying the grass is isn't always greener on the other side, well, I think it shows that these four teams are now in the playoffs, contenders for the playoffs, so or contenders for the Super Bowl. So that's the coin that you can look at, you know, both sides, the pros and the cons. But for what I think that they should bring in, it all comes down to the counterpart coordinator, right? If they bring in an offensive mind, they need a hell of a defensive coordinator, sort of like Andy Reid with Spags. You know, if you got a matchup like that, I think that'd be great. And then vice versa. If you have a defensive mind, then you need a good scheming offensive coordinator. But first things first is EDC needs to figure out this roster as well, because, you know, you've got Lamar Jackson with a big cap hit. So the key is to get him extended and figure out the defense and the offense. So, and I don't mean to get too off topic, but I got a question for you about that. You extend Lamar and you bring his cap hit down. Do you consider trading your first round and some other round picks for Max Crosby?
I would. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. 14th pick in the draft, and Raiders have what, the first pick? Mm-hmm. You slide in the 14th. Crosby, we've talked about it. Who knows what the hell was going on with that at the end of the season. Ryan, 100%, and add 10 more percent to a potential deal like that.
Yep. You know, it's just going to be an interesting time. We've got two new head coaches coming in Baltimore for the Orioles and the Ravens, so I hope there's some more success to come that follows. So.
All right, Ryan, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it as always. And he mentioned the Super Bowl winners who have fired coaches since Harbaugh last won. How about Philadelphia? Doug Peterson.
Most what came to mind.
Yeah, he won, got fired. They brought in Sirianni, and they won another Super Bowl and been to a couple since he left. So, yeah, it's not the death nail for the Ravens organization by any stretch of the imagination. It's just, it's foreign territory because it's the first time in 18 years we've had to go down this road, and it brings a level of excitement too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Right. I think there is a little anxiety from people because there isn't that clear and obvious Ben Johnson or the highly sought after. This is definitely the guy, you know, this is the guy that everyone's going to interview and everyone's going to fight over, that type of thing. Yeah, it's just kind of a mix. I mean, you could even do the debate between retread or just new head coach in general, because we know they're going to interview Brian Flores, for example. So that would be an example of a retread.
Vance Joseph was a coach for a half a second there, too.
He interviews today, at least virtually, I think, because he's got a couple other teams that he's talking to.
Right.
And the Broncos are preparing to play in a week or two.
Number one seed.
He's got a lot of work here. So, yeah, I think there's so many different ways. I'm sticking with offense. I see the point of defense, especially because the defense was so abysmal this year, and you really want to right those wrongs of Zach Orr. I can understand that. And with, you know, defense being in the DNA of the Ravens' history, I get that perspective too. But it still comes down to Lamar, best player on the team. I want that offensive mind.
We have time for another call on Nolan McGraw.
Yeah, one more.
Let's go out to, Baltimore. Bring in Trippy. Trippy, what's happening?
Hey, hallelujah, man. Hallelujah.
You've been watching the Marlon Humphrey podcast, or has he had one since the firing of Harbaugh?
I ain't gonna say too much on him. I'm gonna just, you know. But I just want to let y'all know, man, Zach, he took defensive coordinator out his bio on IG, so that, you know, maybe the news coming soon. But I'm looking at it like this. This is my opinion, because, hey, Bob and Nolan, no matter who the Ravens hire, the fans still going to cry about it. You feel me? That's how I'm looking at it. You know what I mean? You got some fans want EDC gone. Like, how would you want EDC gone when EDC just became the GM after what, Lamar rookie year? You see what I'm saying? Like, give my man a shot with a new head coach. You know what I mean? But it's tough, man. I'm just stuck with one. I want the dude from I want Clint from Clint Kubiak from what's his name? Because my thing is, and I agree with Nolan saying too, because like, even if we get a defensive minded coach, my thing is, who's going to be the OC? Because I'm looking at it like this. I don't want us bringing no OC in, and now we got to learn a whole new offense and stuff. For all that, we might as well just keep Todd Monken as the OC. You know what I mean? I know some people going to disagree with it, but the only reason why I'm saying that, because Todd Monken was probably the best OC Lamar had since he's been here. You know what I mean? Plus, we could put up 30 points. So if we can't get an OC that can do something like that and mesh better, I don't know what it is, but we do got to get that defense together. So I'm looking at it like, say if we hire Clint, right? Why not hire Raheem Morris to be the DC? You know what I mean? And then we can rock like that. But it still don't matter, man. We got to make sure these players execute. Because I watched the game yesterday. They was missing so many tackles, and I don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah,
but
that was yeah. All right, thanks, Trippy. The missed tackles was a season-long dilemma. They had that run, one stretch of games, three straight, where they missed over 30, pushing 40 combined. And we saw it against the Steelers on Sunday night, the missed tackles at crucial times. But Raheem Morris is interviewing, I think he's got 3 head coaching interview situations set up. So does he want to take a step back after being a head coach twice, by the way, which he has, Tampa and Atlanta? If he doesn't get a job, would he might just want to sit one out and then maybe resurface? I guess in this coaching cycle, Nolan, you just want to keep yourself as out there as you possibly can. I think Harbs has built up the equity. He could sit out a year and then next year decide what he wants to do. But maybe for Raheem Morris, because you say if I'm him, I go into my team did it last 4 weeks of the season. I mean, we were kind of percolating, had some uncertainty on the offense with quarterback, et cetera, but we have ascending players. And I think Atlanta, by the way, not to digress too much, that's an interesting, we were talking about those young defensive guys they have too, and Pitts and Robinson. I think Atlanta might be an interesting choice for a potential head coach there.
It's still, I mean, but that quarterback's a mystery.
And
that's always the biggest hurdle. You know, I mean, I'd almost rather go to the team. Like if you were a guy that you really believed in Cam Ward, for example, like the Titans opening. Yeah. Let's say John Harbaugh loves Cam Ward. That rest of that roster is devoid of all talent. But if I really like Cam Ward, I might choose that over a team that, all right, they got other pieces around quarterback, but we just can't find that quarterback. I mean, you have to weigh what's most important to you.
We'll come back, shift gears a little bit, talk to Terps. Jim Smith, athletic director, University of Maryland. Turtles lose last night at home to Indiana. Big Ten basketball. Maryland now 0-4 in conference play. No Parrell Payne again. Didn't shoot well from beyond the arc again. Didn't turn it over as much. Weren't killed on the boards. It's a team right now lacking in talent, obviously, chemistry, and their best player. So combine that all together and you're winless. Early play in the conference and just the landscape of the NIL and contracts being broken. Coaches do it all the time. Now players are doing it.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
He's the AD. Ask the AD, by the way, is sponsored by the Green Turtle, featuring the Turtle Trio, 3 favorites for $15.99 plus $2 off. Personal pictures. Let's bring in, I haven't talked to him in a while, Jim Smith. Jim, first of all, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and whatever other holiday we may have missed since the last time we spoke to you.
Bob, great to be with you guys. Nolan, good to be with you, and Happy New Year to y'all.
Yeah, no doubt. And last night, you know, 6:30 tip, and it's good for old geezers like myself because you don't have to stay up till 12 to watch things. But Maryland came out good. Shooting percentages, not all that great in totality. And the kid Wilkerson from Indiana, he just kind of went crazy there for a minute. 0-4 in the league. We had Buzz on Monday and just trying to, you know, figure things out. I'm not making excuses for him, and he doesn't need me to. But still haven't had their full complement of players. Seems as though Jim still can't find any sort of consistent chemistry or a strength in one particular area right now.
Yeah, really hard with the injuries this year, and it's been, you know, as you can see from the results, it's been inconsistent, and I think that has a lot to do with the lineup, and right now not having a real solid post player to take the pressure off our shooters, and, you know, we're just not shooting the ball great right now. But as Bud said in his post game, I mean, they're, you know, they see progress in a lot of areas. We got to get some buckets to fall for us. And then, you know, last night, Wilkerson, really, he went on a tear. Really, I hadn't seen anything like that. I'd still like to highlight that I think we're still the only team to lead Michigan in the second half. So just on a positive note, let me give you that one. When we did have a pretty good complement of the team together.
Yeah, Payne got hurt in that game, as a matter of fact. But Michigan, hey, barely beat Penn State the other night, 74-72. Now you go out to UCLA, and as Buzz tries to cultivate whatever this team could be, let's not forget as well, one of the top 5-6 recruiting classes already on board for 2026-27. So is this maybe a take-your-lumps kind of year, but the future is still very bright in regards to Buzz and with the basketball program, the future could be here?
Yeah, no question. The future is bright. Now, but I'll tell you, everybody in that building is focused on UCLA right now and getting, you know, trying to get a result on the road in a really tough place to play. And I think I give them a lot of credit for really staying focused and energized on this season, even though it's not going quite as planned. And really got to give a shout out to the fans who keep coming out. The energy in the building is really good. We get on a little bit of a roll. We got on a little roll early, and you could just sense it. So everybody wants this team to do well. They're rooting for this team. And, you know, hopefully we're going to get some shots to fall and get some wins down the road.
I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned it there, the fans last night, the atmosphere at the Xfinity Center. To me, one of the great things about not only Xfinity Center, but Maryland traditionally, is that it's always been a very student-heavy crowd. You look around the country, there's very prominent programs where they almost shove their student section in a corner and you know, even put them behind the band and everything, and they want these high-paying people down close. But Maryland's always been great that they want the students loud, big student section all around the court. It's one of the things I love. But unfortunately, every year, you know, winter break, naturally, student contingent goes home for the holidays, and you have these games around this time of year where, you know, it's a little harder to draw attendance. What can you do from your standpoint to try to supplement the loss of those rowdy students?
Yeah, we're trying to shorten winter break. Bring them back soon. No, that would be great, because your point is well taken, Nolan. We have a great student section when they're in town. They come to the games. The wall is awesome. We've surrounded the court now with students. So that kind of atmosphere is really critical, and it really helps the guys. I mean, you can see it when the students are there. So when we have these long gaps, we actually do talk to the Big Ten about trying to go on the road during part of this, which is why we're heading on the road for a little bit of a long road trip now. For the men, and that's one way to mitigate it. But the other way is to create some more packages. We had a really good family package, earlier or late December. You know, we have to keep doing things like that to bring out more fans to fill those seats and to keep that energy at a really high level.
Let me ask you about the women's team here, ranked number 8. They've been fantastic this year, but the road ahead. All right, you got Rutgers here. That's got to be a win, knowing what Rutgers has been this year. But after that, quite a gauntlet here, where Brenda's team's really going to be tested if they haven't already. Ohio State, USC, UCLA, Iowa, Washington, 5 straight games there, all ranked to competition. Big things coming here for Brenda's team, right?
No, absolutely. Can't wait for all of those games, right? I mean, the Big Ten is, you know, the right now it's the pinnacle of women's basketball. And you know, every game is going to be a battle. Every game gets you prepared for the NCAA tournament. And we have a really, really good women's basketball team. And it goes, like you said before, we want our fans to come out and really enjoy our women's basketball team and support them and create an atmosphere that is, that gives us that home court advantage.
Jim Smith, Athletic Director, University of Maryland, joining us as he does every Thursday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Mike Pope, other side of the glass, Ask the AD, brought to you by Green Turtle. Let's get out of College Park a little bit, talk about some NCAA issues, NIL, transfer portal. We got it. Got it. And by the way, good job with Mathis and Stewart and all these guys, Malik Washington, sticking around, because you said it, Jim. You're going to keep everyone in regards to bidding wars here, but Damon Williams Jr., quarterback at Washington, who we saw beat Maryland, unfortunately, in the game that kind of turned the season around a couple months ago, signed a contract with Washington, tapped out of it. We see the Baylor thing with the basketball kid who was drafted in the NBA, now playing actively, played last night in their loss. The landscape as an AD and then as coaches, as you you talk to your people, I mean, how do we, and the boosters, the people that are giving out this money, and a guy signs a contract, he taps out. Is there legal ramifications here that could possibly come down? And in regards to the college basketball thing, if you're drafted into the league, you got a two-way contract. I mean, where's that fine line between eligibility no longer being part of your reality here?
Bob, just thinking about it every day makes my head explode.
Right.
It's just a very challenging time in college athletics as it relates to the agreements and the ability for a student athlete just to do really whatever it whatever he or she wants at certain points in time. I think there is going to be a lawsuit in this one. They're going to file legal papers. I think, you know, there's got to be some honor when you sign a contract that you're going to honor the contract. And, you know, I think every athletic director is, with the exception of wherever this student athlete is going, is rooting for the legal system to prevail in this one, because it's got to stop. If we're going to make a commitment to the player, then the player agrees to it, then there should be an obligation that they fulfill their commitment. And this is just very troublesome for the whole landscape.
All right, Jim, college football playoffs resume tonight, Miami against Ole Miss. Then you have Oregon and Indiana, two Big Ten teams coming up tomorrow night. What are you thinking here? Who's getting to the championship game coming up in about 7 weeks?
Love it that we have a Big Ten team getting into the championship game. And, you know, it's, you know, the Big Ten has proven over the last 3 years that it's the best football conference. It's got the best teams. It's getting a team to the finals and winning, regularly now. And I'm picking a Big Ten team against Miami.
All right, Jim Smith, it is Total Request Thursday. Pick a song so we can jam you into the next part of your busy day.
All right, so let's go with Don't Look Back by Boston.
Don't Look Back by Boston. I like that. That's a cool song. Jim Smith, Athletic Director, University of Maryland. Jim, always great to talk to you. Good to talk to you again. Enjoy the rest of your Total Request Thursday. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it.
There's Jim Smith, everyone. We'll come back, reset the program, take a couple of calls. Jerry Coleman is going to be joining us. He has covered the Ravens since they moved to Baltimore back in 1996. And he's got a very good relationship with John Harbaugh. If you didn't know that, he's going to tell you about it coming up here at the top of the hour. It's Bob Haney. It's Nolan McGraw, Mike Pope here on the Fan.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Viva Las Vegas. Little Elvis for you. Total Request Thursday. Coming up 11 o'clock. Get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday. Today's Elvis's birthday. And David Bowie's, among others.
Anyone in particular?
Well, today's my birthday.
There we go. Happy birthday, Bob. Yeah.
Send money. I don't need cake. I eat enough cake. Got enough beer to fill a liquor store. Send money.
I'm like you. I try to hide it. When it's my birthday, I don't tell anybody.
I didn't even know it was my... I swear to God, not that I lie. When I got out of the shower this morning, my wife's like, happy birthday. I'm like, oh, yeah. Thanks.
As long as you don't forget how old you are.
Well, I know that. That's why I try not to count birthdays anymore. Then I forgot about it again until my brother, my youngest brother, sent me a text, said happy birthday. I was like, ah, crap, today's my birthday. And I'm working on my birthday. Anyway, Mike McDaniel out in Miami, head coach there. And could this be another possible destination for John Harbaugh? Adam Schefter tweeting out that right now, Dolphins have not contacted John Harbaugh or anybody else. They don't even have a general manager yet. But Troy Aikman's going to help because he's a consultant in this search.
What a mess. What a mess. I mean, this was the right move. I mean, it was so strange to even see that headline earlier this week or last week, whenever it was, that Mike McDaniel, yeah, I'm going to be a part of the GM interview process. I'm like, what the hell? Why? What does that have to do with anything? You made the joke, the first question.
Yeah, why? I'm going to fire you.
Right. that's just not the normal order of operations here. And just alone, I mean, we said it midseason, this guy's destined to be fired. We thought he wouldn't even make it to the end of the season. Then they went on a little run. You finished 7-10. But it was still never enough. And meanwhile, in the background, you got Tua saying, yeah, fresh start. Hey, sign me up. Get me out of here. I want nothing to do with this team. Like, if you're going to start new with a new quarterback, you're start with a new GM, obviously. You already made that decision in October. Why would the coach of all people get to stay? Just go clean slate across the board.
Yeah, and buy some real coach's pants. What's up with the capris on the sidelines, the cuffed ones and all of that stuff? But for Harbaugh, trying to think for him, you're going to need a quarterback unless you saw enough of Quinn Ewers to think at least he gives you, you have a good running back in HN. You're going to lose Anthony Weaver, whether the cleaning of the house of the coaching staff in total, but he's moving on. He might be, hey, he's interviewing for the Ravens job. Got Bradley Chubb, Micah Fitzpatrick. I mean, there, it was a team that 3 years ago, Nolan, looked like it was on the rise. And they have talked about regressing big time
right
in that division.
But where's the young talent? You mentioned some good players there, but I would almost view those guys as pieces that they're going to try to sell off in the next year and recoup some draft
picks. Well, Tyreek Hill's probably gone, I would think, right?
I mean, he's been since he got injured.
Yeah, Waddle.
I like Waddle. But that's, yeah.
Yeah, they might be. The new coach might be in for a pretty significant rebuild, has that.
I think. If we're looking at all the coaching availabilities now or teams that are resetting, now that I think about it, that might be the biggest project. I mean, even a team like the Browns has a ton of young talent. They had a great draft this year.
We have time for another call.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it. Coming up top of the hour, Jerry Coleman, Be More Sports Podcast. Talk about his relationship with John Harbaugh. Where do the Ravens go from here? And the question we're asking you today, forget about the name. I mean, we can all speculate on the candidates, and you've heard the names that are coming in for interviews. Would you prefer an offensive-minded head coach or a defensive-minded head coach when John Harbaugh was neither? He was kind of a special teams guy, really good at it, though. Vernon in Baltimore. Vernon, thanks for holding. What's up?
Yeah, I got a question about Harbaugh. Harbaugh was on the high seat from the beginning. How many offensive coordinators that Flacco had to get a first ring? And then top it all off, Lamar Jackson saved his job when he got drafted. Thirdly, it was Lamar's second or third year playing against Kansas City. How many fourth and ones that Tucker didn't get kicked no field goal? And plus, we would have beat Kansas City because that's his kryptonite. We need Cosby. We need that DN from Cincinnati and get rid of the defensive coordinator and Lamar Humphreys. Pro Bowler, injury prone, damaged goods, let him go. That's all I have to say.
All right, Vernon, thank you for the call. And for the Ravens, I don't remember the Ravens being in a lot of field goal situations against Kansas City.
I think, I don't know that part of it. I was talking about, I think,
the Tennessee game they had fourth and one and failed, where they had converted every fourth and one the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
Going into that playoff game against the Titans and failed twice, I believe, in the first half. But saving Harbaugh's job, I mean, we've talked about this. The reports were that when they were at the bye at 4-5, he was going to be gone at the end of the year, and then Flacco got hurt, and the rest is history.
Yeah, I mean, we'll never know. I mean, it seems in hindsight that that's probably what was most likely. It would have been four straight years without the playoffs,
yeah.
Three where you were actually had a chance to win it, because you could dismiss 15 where everyone got hurt and they just were never in it for the
wearing
last.
Wearing gold pants.
Yeah, Matt Schaub.
Egregious.
Matt Schaub started like four or five games.
Yeah. Ryan Mallett beat the Steelers.
That's a Ravens legend. You beat the Steelers, always a Ravens legend. Rest in peace, by the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, well, a lot of the stuff caller was saying there, I think it is going to happen. I mean, Zach Orr, yeah, that's automatic. You're getting a whole new coaching staff here. Nobody's hanging around. Humphrey, for performance and cap hit reasons, that's a guarantee. He's gone. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of easy stuff here.
When we come back, guy who always makes it easy on the ears, Jerry Coleman. Be More Sports Podcast. Get his thoughts on Harbaugh being dismissed. How surprised was he? And where do the Ravens go from here? Where does John Harbaugh go from here? Got the whip around coming up at 11:15. A lot going on. World of Sports. Got the college football playoffs resuming tonight. And a Baltimore kid, boy, he had a game-winning buzzer beater for the ages, or at least for a Tuesday night. And then Chris Knocke talks about where Buzz Williams Terps go from here. 0-4 in the conference. They lost five in a row. It's been a struggle bus for Buzz first year.